On your mark, get set, go. You are about to take part in the Cannonball Run. If you don't know what that is, well, I'm glad you stopped by. We're going to talk about that day. Welcome to Free For All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I feel like talking about. And today, I want to talk about the Cannonball Run. I think its actual full name is the Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy. The Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash, better known as the Cannonball Run. Now, I thought about the Cannonball Run because it's a cross-country race, an unsanctioned, illegal cross-country race, I will say. And I wanted to talk about it because my family and I, we went on a not a cross-country trip, but we drove pretty far across the country with three kids in our minivan. Maybe one day we will win the Cannonball Run. I doubt that after I tell you what's involved in trying to do it. But we went across the country. Oh, by the way, tip for road trips, get your kids coloring books. Even for our older son, we got him, you know, a kind of more complex coloring book, and he liked it. They just were in the back there. They're doodling away. So when you're on a road trip with kids, right, we were rotating between rosary, songs. We put clean comedy on for the kids. I like Brian Regan for them. A little bit of Jim Gaffigan, as long as he's being clean about it. So we'll rotate through different things. Audiobooks, always something fun to be able to listen to with the kids. Wayside School Stories. But I'm not talking about road trips with the kids. I'm talking about the Cannonball Run. The point was, we were driving across the country. I started talking to Laura about it. And so I thought, hey, it'd be fun to share with you all since it was previously on my mind. So according to this article, the Cannonball Run is an unsanctioned speed record driving across the United States. It runs from New York City's Red Ball Garage to the Portofino Hotel in Redondo Beach, which is, of course, near Los Angeles. And different records have been set over the years. As I said, it is not an official race because you have to break the law in order to win. You're allowed to basically get from New York to L.A. through any mobile means of transportation. You've got to be a car on the ground. You can't just fly there. But if you want to use a car, motorcycle, you know, anything that's on the ground and traveling, the point is, doesn't matter how you get there, just who can get there the fastest in the same vehicle. And so people have adopted different methods to be able to do that over the years. So I just wanted to talk about it because I think it's utterly fascinating. The name, so I mean, it was started by some of the editors at Car and Driver magazine back in the 1970s, but its historical roots go back even further than that. You have to go all the way back to 1915 with the cross-country exploits of Irwin Baker. Irwin George Cannonball Baker, born 1882, died in 1960. He was someone who began, he was a vaudeville performer, but then in 1904, he won a dirt track motorcycle race. And after that, he did a ton of motorcycle races, car races, and he did these cross-country drives and races. So the first one he did where he drove across the entire country, he did that in 1915 in a Stutz Bearcat. It looks just like a really fancy, like a fancy wagon, right? Think about a car from like 1915. If you think about Back to the Great Gatsby, or I'm sure some of these models showed up in like Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like that. The average speed he drove was about 50 miles an hour. It took him 271 hours in 1915 to go from New York to go cross country New York to Los Angeles. And so that was the first record there in 1915. He did a lot of these. He would do some of these runs. Some of the runs that he did, he would go out with a motorcycle and he would do the run first, and he would place gas cans with spare gas in them in hard places. He would do it slowly, placing supplies, gasoline, other stuff like that for himself. And then later he would go back and do the full run, taking advantage of the supplies that he had hidden along the road, which maybe that's something they could do. I don't know. Be fun to do some kind of event where you're handicapped and that way you can't go to a gas station to gas up. Though honestly, they only gas up probably like once in the entire trip when they do the modern Cannonball runs. So Baker did that in 1915. And then he did it again in 1933. But this time he drove a Grand Page Model 57 Blue Streak 8. And so he did that in 1933. He was able to cross the country in 53 hours, 30 minutes. So what previously took him almost 12 days was shaved down just a little bit over 2 days. Now, one thing that probably helped was in 1926, They officially established Route 66, a famous route that goes from Chicago to Los Angeles. You know, get your kicks on Route 66. And Route 66 always makes me a little bit sad, though, because there's a lot of portions of it you can't drive. A lot of it's paralleled by interstates that go along it. And there's parts of the old Route 66 you can still drive to this day, but a lot of them you can't. You can't drive the original Route 66 entirely. I know there's parts of it in California. It was washed out. The bridges for it were washed out, and the government hasn't fixed it there because nobody uses it. Nobody lives out there, which is sad. And it definitely makes me think of the 2006 film Cars, you know, where Lightning McQueen ends up in Radiator Springs and the town's basically abandoned because they built that interstate and no one went along the highway. It's clearly an allegory talking about Route 66 and all the towns that happened along there. But you know what? I like the time that I get saved on the interstate. I'm sorry, Doc Hudson. I'm sorry, everybody in Radiator Springs, but yes, I do like saving 10 minutes on the interstate. I'm not gonna lie. Try having three kids in the back of your minivan, and then you can call me. Look at me. I'm arguing with Pixar animated characters. Not the first time I have done that, by the way. And I do apologize after being on the long road trip. I got a little bit of a cold. You might be able to hear that. Hopefully it'll wheeze its way out of me here soon enough. So Baker did that in 1933, and the record stood for a long time. It was eventually broken in 1964. This is not part of the Cannonball Run, but it was broken done in a little over 48 hours, 48 hours, 9 minutes in 1964. So a little over 2 days. And then the race itself, the history of it, that goes back to car magazine writer and auto racer Brock Yates and the other editor, Steve Smith. So their run was not really a competitive race. It's not like, of course, a lot of my older listeners, not that you're old, but you saw this movie when this movie came out before I was born, and that would be The Cannonball Run in 1981, featuring Burt Reynolds, the all-star cast headlined by Burt Reynolds. And that's where a lot, so that'd be great if some of my older listeners here, but when I said The Cannonball Run, you're thinking, oh, the movie with Burt Reynolds, right? And in that movie, it's basically a celebrity all-star lineup, a lot of wacky hijinks, and the premise is they're all trying to drive from New York to L.A. at the same time. So you got Burt Reynolds, Farrah Fawcett, Dom DeLuise, you got Jackie Chan in there with the fight scene, you got Terry Bradshaw, Sammy Davis Jr., Roger Moore. You've got all of them in this one movie, and it's funny. It's a funny movie. Roger Ebert at the time did not think it was funny. It was a huge success with audiences, but critics just hated it because it's a dumb celebrity popcorn flick, and audiences love that. Critics, not so much. Roger Ebert gave it, I think, like half a star out of 4 stars. He just hated it. So a lot of you listening might be thinking of that. But the Cannonball Run, the original one, was not like a race of a bunch of people all trying who's going to get there first. The point was, how can I get there in the fastest time? And one of the reasons that they started the Cannonball Run, first, they named it in honor of Cannonball Baker, but they called it was like the Sea to Sea Shining Memorial Trophy Drive, Sea to Sea Cannonball Baker Run, and eventually got shortened to the Cannonball Run. And one reason that they wanted to do this in 1971, and then it was done again in 72, 75, and 79, was to protest against the really strict speed limits in during the 70s in across the United States. I still, when I go back east, I'm always like, oh gosh, I notice it's like when I am in the Western United States, there's a ton of interstates where like 75, there's some that are 80 miles an hour when you're out west and there's nothing. And that's a breeze to go along. But when you go back east, when I was driving to Steubenville, Ohio from Arizona, as soon as I crossed the Mississippi, it's like everything is 55 miles an hour. I'm like, I cannot drive at this speed. I can't drive 55. Because that's Sammy Hagar's 1980 from his studio album VOA 1984. Sammy Hagar, I can't drive 55. So that's one reason. You have the interstate highway regulations, the prohibitions on speed limits, things like that. That's one thing that they wanted to protest. This is still happening all the way back in the 70s. I forget. I'm sure some of that had to do with maybe the gas crisis at the time. I know part of the speed limit reduction was to deal with the fuel crisis going on to try to conserve fuel and things like that. So the goal with Davis and the others with doing the Cannonball Run was to show, no, we can drive across the country safely at really fast speeds, breaking the speed limit. And so that's something that continued since then. And the record is slowly whittled down ever since the 70s. So when they went and did it in 1971, they broke the record in a 71 Dodge Custom Sportsman. That was 40 hours, 51 minutes. Then later it gets shaved down to 35 hours, then 32 hours. Finally, it gets down in 1983 to 32 hours, 7 minutes. And that was done in a Ferrari 308, David Deem and Doug Turner. And the record stood at that in 1983 until 2006. I think there was a documentary about the group that did this as well. They shaved it down to 31 hours, 4 minutes, driving in a 2000 BMW. And as the races have progressed, what they end up doing is they use sleeper cars. So it looks like just a regular car, but it's completely tricked out, modified. You might take out the back seats, for example, to put in extra fuel tanks. That's a big thing to be able to do. The race continued to be whittled down to 27 hours, 25 minutes. That was in 2019. And people thought that the record was pretty stuck there in 2019, right? 27 hours, 25 minutes, what do you do? And so at this point, we're not having fun like Burt Reynolds anymore, driving across the country in an ambulance, all kinds of hijinks, things like that. This is really serious stuff. You don't stop. The most you'll like stop for is just a few minutes to refuel. If you're going to use the bathroom, you're going to carry one in the car with you. You are just not stopping. And they're driving, average speeds they're driving are 100 miles an hour. The record-breaking run, the average speed that they ran was 110 miles an hour, continuous. So the final record broken, this record still has not been broken. This was, I want to say it was October, I see 2020 here, but that should be 2021. But it was during the COVID pandemic. The record is 25 hours, 39 minutes. 25 hours, 39 minutes to drive from New York to Los Angeles. And really, I don't know if that record can ever be broken. I don't know if it can ever be broken because they took advantage of COVID, of the COVID pandemic. Because during the pandemic, you had that brief period when nobody was on the road. Now, normally when they had done this during regular runs, your biggest obstacle is law enforcement, right? You get pulled over, you get a speeding ticket. If you're going like 150 miles an hour on the road, you could even end up in jail and your run's going to be over real fast. So what do? So they use all kinds of technology. They use police jamming software to, keep police from locking onto them with radar guns. They'll use detectors to see where speed traps are coming up. And many of the teams actually employ airplane spotters. So guys in planes just flying ahead of them in a plane, spotting and scoping out where there are police officers waiting for speed traps and other elements like that. So you had the perfect conditions in April of 2020. I remember in California when it was locked down in end of March 2020. It was so eerie. They basically told us, like, you can't leave your home. They even said you can't go to somebody's house for fun. People were getting tickets for sitting in their car looking at the sunset because, oh, yeah, you're definitely going to infect somebody if you do that. It was dystopian and awful, and one of the many reasons we left California. There are people who would just go on. I remember during the pandemic, people would just go on a drive to not go crazy, and they would get a ticket, but they didn't put anybody at risk. It just makes me show why I am so skeptical of state power. It's just so easily corrupted. I'd rather disperse that power as much as possible so it's not abused. Sorry, my inner libertarian ranting comes into play. I'm not a full libertarian, but, you know, I guess I'm very sympathetic in those regards. So I remember we were in California and we would drive on Interstate 5 at 5 o'clock on a weekday and there was nobody. We were like, at one point I looked back and forward, not a single other car on the freeway. It felt like last man on earth kind of stuff. It felt creepy and scary almost. That would normally should be rush hour traffic. It's nothing. So they did that. Oh, the first one, April, it was about 26 hours, 38 minutes in April of 2020. That was done in a 2019 Audi A8. But then finally, the record was permanently broken, 25 hours, 39 minutes in May of 2020, when things were still really completely emptied out across the entire country. And the record still stands. So there's other records in it that people can break. Like you try to do it in a diesel vehicle, an electric vehicle, motorcycle, coast to coast. So you drive from New York to LA, turn around and go back again. So there's still records to be beaten there. And maybe they'll do other ones. We did east to west. Somebody could try to do a north to south, like going from, I don't know, Anchorage to Los Angeles. I've always wanted to drive the Alaskan Highway myself. So maybe I'll put that in one of the retirement goals. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this bit of automobile trivia, and I hope that you all have a very blessed weekend.